Luke chapter number 18. When you find your place, if you would please stand in reverence to God's holy word. We're going to look at the first 8 verses here. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask Brother Saray if he would lift his voice and pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. Now, verse 1 gives us the purpose or the reason of this parable. Notice what it says here. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. The phrase to this end means he did it for this purpose. And the purpose was that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, if you look at the previous chapter, he's talking about the end times. In the end times, things are going to get worse and worse. They're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And so he's telling God's people, you need to have faith during a time which there isn't much faith there. And notice the last part of that last verse that we read there. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't, they're going to faint. Amen? They're not going to continue praying, they're going to faint. And so, as he talks about a life of faith, we need to understand, he gives two alternatives here in verse number 1 of men living in those last days. They'll either pray or they'll faint. In other words, he's saying you're going to either live by faith. That's what praying is, living by faith. You're praying to God. God take care of it. I'm going to leave it to him. You're going to live by faith or you're going to live by fear. Those people that are fainting. Can I tell you this from experience? I don't know, probably some of you have. Has there ever been a time in your life where you know you're getting ready to pass out? Has anyone ever had that happen to them? I see these blank looks. I know Laura has, because she did that. Man, that scared me half to death. But she just all of a sudden fell down. Me and Kim were there. But I remember a time I did that too, and I remember another time that I almost did that. Sal loves that story. Never eat at Captain Roy's, never eat those tacos. I don't know if it's the grease in them or what, but this was when I worked at Lax, and Sal was doing work for the dental guy over there, so we went out to eat there, and on my way back, my eyes started to get real blurry and everything, and I thought, well, I got something in my eye, and I'm driving. And I'm trying to wipe my eyes, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to concentrate. I got him there, I let him out, and then I went to work. And as I'm walking in the building and started walking towards him, I looked at everybody and said, I'm about to pass out. And I laid down on the ground, and just, I mean, it's such a helpless feeling. You know it's going to happen, and you're just, you know, wondering what's going on. And that's what happens is if you're fearful about the things going on, you have a tendency to feel like you have no control. And that, you know, you're just going to give up. That's what it's talking about, fainting. It's just like giving up hope. And we as God's children shouldn't give up hope. Amen? It's your choice what you do. You can live by faith or you can live by fear. Listen, the lost people out there, they don't know nothing about living by faith. But God's people do. And so, no matter how bad it gets, and God tells us in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. But knowing that, we should be able to just have the faith to believe God and keep praying. Amen? Things will get rough, but keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, this is talking about a life of prayer. Doesn't mean you're praying 24 hours a day. You have a, more importantly, a life of, but an attitude of prayer. Being ready to pray at any moment. As if, you know, you've got everything right with God. When you sin, confess it. Get it right. Don't pile them up, amen? Then someone comes to you, I need you to pray for me. And you know that God's not going to hear you. What do? You have to, Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for this. Lord, is there something else I need forgiveness for? But having that attitude of prayer and knowing, listen, God answers prayer. He can take care of it. Amen? And so, you know, we as God's children need to live a life of prayer. Have an attitude of prayer. Amen? And it's been said that the life behind the prayer makes it effective. If you're right with God, if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're praying, amen? Chance God's going to answer that prayer. Now, He may not answer it the way you want an answer, but He'll answer it. But you know what? If you're right with God, you'll want His answer. I know a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they want their way. They don't want it God's way. Because a lot of times God's way is not comfortable for us. And so we need to understand that. And, you know, here we have a parable that's given, which is talking about importunate prayer, which is, you know, just constant, you know, praying to God and pleading with Him. Amen? It's been said it's a mighty movement of the soul towards God. Now, nothing distinguishes a child of God so much as prayer. People see people praying, amen, they assume, hey, he must know God. Now, we know that not everybody that prays knows God. But what I'm saying is it's a sign when you see it. And if you're a Christian, let me put it this way. If you're a Christian and you're around people of prayer, you can tell, man, he knows the Lord. Amen? It's not about them. It's about God. Amen? Prayer molds the soul to the image of God. The more we pray, the more we seek God, that's what it changes us into Him. Amen? We'll be more like Him. Amen? It speaks of pressing. This parable, as it talks about prayers, talking about pressing our desires upon God with urgency and persistence. We don't give up. A lot of times people, we pray for something and then we act as if God didn't answer it in a week and we feel like, well, God's not going to answer it. He'll answer it in His time. But we need to examine ourselves. The problem might be He's not answering because you're not right with Him. It may be He's not answering because it's not time. I want you to think about this. Think about when Lazarus died. They come to Him, say, hey, he's sick. He's at the point of death. You need to get there. And the Lord waited, didn't He? And then as soon as He came at the right time, His time, as soon as He came, both Mary and Martha said, if you would have been... Listen, they had the faith to believe that God could have healed them. But they said, if you would have been here, He wouldn't have died. I know one day of the resurrection, He said, no, I'm the resurrection. And what did He do? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come forth. Now, if He would have come while He was sick on the point of death and healed him, you know, everybody would have said, praise the Lord for that. But here they saw, hey, he was dead. There's no doubt he was dead. He raised someone from the dead. God got glory out of it, talked about that. And then later, one of the statements that was made about Lazarus was the fact that, you know, that he was kind of a walking testimony to God. Wherever he went, can you imagine? That's the guy Jesus raised from the dead. And it was so bad that they wanted to get rid of him too. Listen, when you think about it truthfully, you know what? I'm the guy God raised from the dead. If you're saved, God raised you from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're alive. Amen? He did that. What a miracle. And shouldn't we be that walking miracle where you go around and say, man, look at that changed life. Look what happened when they met God. Amen? That's the way it should be. And a lot of times when we look at this parable, I mean, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll see, well, you know, it's saying, you know, God is like that judge, and, you know, it's saying that the widow is like Christians. No, it's not. It's not comparing, it's contrasting. There's a difference. Because when you compare something, you're saying they're similar. When you contrast them, you're saying there's a big difference. That's what he's really saying, in essence, in this thing. Now, we need to understand the times and the setting when this was taking place. During this time, okay, judges, they didn't, you know, we can go to a court and see a judge, right? You can go to a courtroom and watch. Hopefully you're not in the thing, but you can go there and see the judge there and listen to the cases going on. You know, you go to a building. Back then, during that time, they would take a tent. And the judge would move in a circuit. He'd go to one city, he'd place that tent down, and he would be in that tent. He'd have his assistants around him, and he was the one that presided. He was the one that decided which cases he was going to listen to. And a lot of times what would happen is some people would come up to his assistants and say, man, I need this to be heard. You know what I'm talking about? I need my case heard. They would pay them, bribe them, so they could get their case before that judge. And when we look at this widow woman here in the story, she's got three big problems, three big hurdles she has to overcome. Number one, she's a woman. Back then, the women didn't go into the court and say, judge, you need to do this, and judge, you need... No, they didn't do that. The men did. Number two, she was a widow, meaning her husband couldn't do it for her. And number three, she was poor. She had no money. She couldn't bribe them associates, amen? She couldn't bribe the judge. So when we look at her, you know, her hurdles that she has to overcome, you're thinking, well, there's no way that he's going to hear this case. There's no way that the judge is going to do anything. I can imagine these people listening as he tells the story, and they're thinking, well, I wonder what his point is, because she's not going to get anything heard. And then all of a sudden he starts saying that this widow said, basically avenge me of mine adversary, and kept on. To put it in today's vernacular, it would be like, you know, she's like going to the judge saying, you got to hear my case. And he's like, I don't have time right now. Maybe he's at Walmart. She sees him, comes over. You've got to hear my case. Like, woman, would you leave me alone? Maybe he's eating at his house. He hears a knock on the door. There's that woman. You need to hear my case. It's like, woman, I'm here with my family. Leave me alone. Can you imagine? Persistent. Just won't leave him alone. Just on and on. Just persistent. Just staying on top of him. She wants what she wants. She wants revenge. She says, I want him to pay for what he did to me. And he's saying, who cares? But then it gets to the point where, because it's just constant, there she is. She won't leave, amen? She's not going to leave. She's probably in there each day saying, how about me? How about me? How about my case? How about my case? Now, the other day, Logan's team was playing basketball. And they played this team, Brother Juan, they were not good. They were pretty bad. In fact, the score was, I think, 10-0 at the start of the game, and the other team had not gotten the ball past half court.
Can you imagine? Can't even get the ball past. I mean, that, I can understand they missed some shots. They couldn't even get half court. You know why? Because his team, they have these players. I mean, they're all over you. They're just like, you cannot get away from them. One, you get one, here comes the other one. And they have this, he'll yell, the coach will start yelling, blitz! And they just start going at these people. And these people panic and they're just throwing the ball away. They can't hold it. Why? Because it's just persistent. It's just on them all the time. And when we look at what this phrase says here about this woman, notice what he says. He says this. He says, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God. This is an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God. And he says, I fear not God nor regard man. Yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He says, I'm tired of her. She won't leave me alone until I do it, so okay, I'll do it. This thought of this continual bugging is in essence talking in the Greek was like as if giving a black eye to somebody. I mean, she was so annoying. He just said, all right, enough already. I'll do it. Amen? And so he is to the point where he's had it. He's had enough of it, and he said, you know what? I'll do it just so she'll leave me alone. And so a lot of times, as I said, people will take this, they'll take this story here and they'll take it and say, well, this is what it's talking about here. It's comparing. No, it's contrasting them. Because when we look at this, the first contrast was the first verse. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there's a contrast between praying and fainting. You're doing one or the other. The second contrast is between the widow woman and God's children. Now they're not similar because of the one fact we need to understand. She wasn't related to that judge. She had no ties to that judge. And there was no promises from that judge that were for her. Now I'm a child of God. I have a relationship with my Savior. But also, not only do I have a relationship, I have some promises He's given to me. And He doesn't break His promises. He's given you promises. He doesn't break His promises. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, unless this happens, or no, that's not in it. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. Amen? That's a promise you can hold on to. Amen? She didn't have any promises. But she kept going. She was persistent. But she didn't have any promises. The judge didn't promise her anything during that time. She was a stranger to that judge. But we're not strangers to him. I want you to notice, he says, this widow came to him, avenged me of my adversary, and he wouldn't for a while, but then he thought, you know, I'll just do it because she's just wearing me down. Notice the next part here. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? So here now he's contrasting the judge and the Father. Now, God's nothing like that judge. That judge, he's not. He took bribes. He didn't make wise decisions. Right? And he only appeased that lady just to get rid of her. We have a loving Father. He loves us with an everlasting love. He wants what's best for us. And one phrase caught me out when I was studying this. There was something that caught my eye. It says, and shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night? And it made me think of being a parent. And when your kids are little, do they not get your attention when you hear them cry? Especially you mamas. That's your little baby and it's crying and you don't know what's... Boy, that gets your attention. You're ready to go find out what's wrong. Amen? And if there's someone there that's causing that, you're ready to damage some people. Amen? They're causing your kid to cry, you're ready to go at them, aren't you? You'll do anything to help them not to cry. Listen, when my kids were little babies, I loved them being little babies. I just loved having that little baby. But the one thing that I just couldn't stand was when they would cry and they couldn't tell me what's wrong. And I would sit there and pray to God, God, make me, if they're hurting, make me hurt instead of them. Right? Have you been there? You would do anything to get them to stop crying. Because you couldn't stand to see them in pain. You know, you didn't know if they were hurting physically or they were hurting because they're hungry. Sometimes, but the women, oh, they're hungry. Like, how do you know? Just know. But if we're so concerned, when we hear them crying, we want to take care of them, do you not think our Heavenly Father that has that perfect love, when He hears us cry when we're hurting, do you not think that He wants to help us right away? I want to ease their pain. I want to take care of this problem. Hey, He's got all the resources. I didn't have the resources sometimes. They cried. I didn't know what to do. Right? You hold them. You put them in the bed. You hold them. Put them, you don't know what to do. Change the diaper. Well, it's dry, but you change it anyway. Maybe I don't know what it is. Right? But you want them. You don't want them to hurt and cry. And yet here's a holy God that when He hears you, He wants to take care of the problem. And when you're hurting and you come to this altar and you're saying, God, I need Your help, do you not think, oh, I'm here to help you? Do you not think He's going to take care of you? That unjust judge just did it to get rid of that person. God doesn't answer prayers to get rid of us. God answers prayers because He loves us. And so when we look at these contrasts here, the whole thing comes down to this. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, that woman was persistent. She came and that unjust judge finally just gave in because of her persistence, but He really didn't care about the matter. He's saying God cares about every matter you go through. So why wouldn't you pray? When you don't pray, in essence, you're saying, God, I don't believe You're going to answer it. We're to pray for everything, right? Every decision. Doesn't matter if it's a big decision, as we call big, or a small decision. We should pray every decision, knowing God knows what's best for us and God wants what's best for us. And when we don't pray, it's almost like we're saying, God, you don't really care about this. God cares. Shouldn't we pray to Him? Because when we stop praying, thinking that, you know, God doesn't really care about me, when we stop praying, you know what's going to happen? We're going to faint. We're just going to give up. You know how I know that? Because I see some empty seats here. And pretty much any church you go to, Brother Juan, that has some members... You see some people that used to be in church, they're no longer in church. Why? They fainted. They got to the point where they just didn't trust God would take care of the problems. That's what prayer is, trusting God that He's going to take care of it. Why would I pray if I didn't believe He could take care of it? And why would I not pray if I believed He was going to take care of it? Of course I would pray. And when things get worse and worse, God's looking for those that are going to just, I'm praying. God, I know You care. God, I know you can get me through anything. And as things get worse and worse, as more persecution comes upon you or trials or tribulations come upon you, and you keep praying, God's going to answer. You know why God's going to answer? Because He wants to increase your faith so you don't faint. So you have a choice right now. I don't know what you're going through, but I would suspect that every single person here is going through something. Everybody here has something in your life you need to pray about, right? Is there anyone here, oh, everything's fine, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing I need to pray for? Would you raise your hand? Well, it looks like we don't have any liars for that. Listen, we all have something to pray about. Amen? God's blessed us with a lot, but there are things that we're going through. God knows. Might be health issues. Might be financial issues. All kinds of problems out there. But God can take care of them. We got to believe. And during the times, especially when it gets worse and worse, we ought to pray more and more. Because when our faith increases, the world takes notice. The world sees a difference. I can say that the people that were a testimony to me were people that prayed. And the people that I had influence on, they saw me pray. And I'm sure that can be said about you. But I want to ask you tonight, how's your praying going? Are you fainting? Are you getting to the point where you don't want to pray anymore? You know, and if we don't pray, it's a sign to God that we're not trusting Him. Listen, there's things that we think, well, I can do that, and I can do this, and I can do that. Pray to God first. Let God do it. Let God take care of it. Now, don't take it to the extreme. I heard one commentator say this. He said, God doesn't want you to pray for a corn crop without you having a hoe in your hand. In other words, you've got to put some work behind it. You can't sit there and say, God, I want this and I want that. And just, you know, there were people, when they heard it was the last days, they didn't want to work. Well, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. I don't have to work. But they wanted everybody to give them everything. They wanted God to give them everything for free. No, it's not that way. You've got to work. Amen? The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. You know what? America would be a better place if we kept that motto. Take care of a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Some of these people that are over here illegally, I think if that was the incentive, they would go back, wouldn't they? Listen, this is a country that takes in immigrants. But there's a legal way to do it. And that's the way they should come. Right? But we as God's people, listen, we need to come to Him the right way. Amen? We need to come to Him trusting. God is in control. God can take care of anything. I'm God's child. He's concerned about me. I'm going to pray to Him. I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to get done, but I'm just going to pray to God. God will take care of it. But can I say this? Make sure that you're doing some work too. You're willing to work for things. Amen? That's the thing is God's people need to get busy working. Praying, believing. I'm going to do it. God's going to take care of it. God provided a way. He's going to do it. We're just going to go on, move on, and do the Lord's work. Amen? But it comes down to this. You're going to do one of two things. You're going to pray or you're going to faint. And right now you might be here tonight and you might be one saying, you know, I'm about to faint. I haven't been praying like I ought to. You know what? While you're still breathing, you can repent, get things right with God, and go back to praying and believing. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time and Your Word. And Lord, many times, Lord, we get discouraged and we get our eyes off of You. And Lord, when we do that, we pray less. We work less for You. We spend more time with the things of this world, and we get to the point where we're going to faint. Lord, I don't know the condition of everyone here, but You do. Lord, I pray for that one that may have backslid a little bit, gotten away from You, haven't been praying like they used to, haven't been... It's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to pray and believe. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of prayer. Men and women who believe our God loves us so much, He'll answer those prayers. And He'll answer them that will be best for us. Lord, we might not like His answer, but by faith we're going to just believe it's the right thing because God knows all. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to you, you come. If you're here, you're lost, you never trusted Christ your Savior, come to this altar, raise your hand, we'll have someone take the Bible, show you how to be saved. I just ask you just to search inside your heart and see, have I been praying more or less than I used to?